Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
All right, honky tonk.
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. That was quite a violent sigh you gave. That was like you're trying to put out a little fire that had maybe started somewhere, you know, like on your coffee table or something.
No, there's no fire. There's a little bit of fire in my soul.
Oh, that's good to hear. So, yes, nice to see you, Ronnie Hot Dog.
Hi, it's good to see you as well. Back from France then, eh?
Yeah, the King of Lidl, the Aldi Express. The Netto Warrior, yeah. I like to think of you as.
Yeah, Presto, Fine Fare, all of them.
All of them. That's where you dwell. Now, if there was a superhero, Andy, and his skill was that he could produce a net in his hand and throw it over his enemy, would you call him Netto or Netflix?
Would you not call him Spider-Man?
No, he doesn't just do net. My super... You have to make it difficult, don't you? He throws nets over people. Well, would you call him Netto or Netflix?
Have I got to choose one of them?
Go on, choose one and we can move on.
Netflix. What's the point of this?
I just wondered. When I said Netto, I thought it sounds like a, you know, look, it's Netto. Everybody, get your pants back on. You know what he's like. So, lovely to see you. I'm back from France, yeah?
Yeah, have you brought any jambon back with you?
Oh, don't... The memory... Do you know, the jambon didn't... Two things. I don't know if you listened last week, but I had a bit of a jambon hell in my hotel in Marseille. Well, since then, I've done a lot of train travel, Andy. I've travelled up to Lille, then to Lens, then back to Lille, then down to Lyon, then to Saint-Étienne, blah, blah, blah. Well, anyway, on my longest journey, the first one from Marseille up to Lille, I grabbed a pack of my jambon from my hotel room to take with me on the train with a bit of pan, and I was in a four-seater and I opened the packet of jambon and it was like a packet, do you know, like those smoked salmon ones where you peel it back, you know what I mean, and you can't reseal them, and the stench that came out from it, not understanding it, was absolutely undigestible, the stench of it was like a vengeful smell, you know.
And how did your fellow passengers deal with that and with you?
Well, never mind that. I started to balk. Is it balk you call it, or is that just the thing? A bulk, that kind of thing.
Wretch.
And I always get the sweats on if I'm feeling sick.
Oh, aye.
And because I get the sweats on, I swell up a bit. My brass hand gets really tight. Do you know what I mean, though?
So the mechanism started extra fast.
And anyway, I could see it. I saw the moment that it hit this, like, she was like a middle-aged French woman opposite me. And she said, she like did a hand waft. And she said something like, a belle no crufte, or something.
Oh.
And I dwelt on that. And I think she was saying, like, Jesus, it smells just like crufts. I don't know. But, yeah, so I took a bit of jambon on the train, regretted it.
Didn't go well.
Didn't go particularly. I tell you what, their trains are nice, Andy. Double-deckers, you know, TGV ones.
I've not been on the double-deckers. I've been on one of the bullet trains that they have.
Yeah?
That gets you from Paris to Disneyland in 10 minutes.
Amazing stuff, innit?
Brilliant.
Half the price of a bus as well.
There was a soldier on with a machine gun, so that wasn't quite so good.
Well, he's there to protect you, Andy. Why not think of it
I'm
as a
good... I'm not sure. Was he?
Did he harm you? Did he?
It felt like a threat.
It felt like a threat to you because you've got a guilty mind because you're the top sort of like dorky kind of guy who fantasizes about taking over a train, who fantasizes about putting like litmus paper on the seats and stuff.
I'm the sort of fella who turns his back when a police car drives past.
Yeah, because you're guilty, and your guilt is because of your fantasies that you have. Anyway, I enjoy. I when I went to Lyon, you get it's really nice for food and that. And they have a have you heard of a charcuterie?
Is that the cheese shop?
It's like where there's just this jambon paradise.
Oh.
It's all slices.
What do they call it, jambon paradise then?
Well, because it wasn't, that would be jambon paradis.
Oh.
You know, and
it's like they've got a different word for everything, isn't it?
That would just sound like a shit film, wouldn't it? Lovely, and I wanted to give it a mention, the charcuterie in Lyon. It's charcuterie Bonnard. That's like floor to ceiling jambons. I bought myself a kilo and I enjoyed them in Lyon.
So you even though you endured jambon hell in Marseille, you went back for more.
Oh, jambon's like heroin, man. You know, their jambon is not cooked in that, and it gets sweaty and stuff.
Do you not cook it on a spoon then?
What?
Under a lighter?
Well, then it wouldn't be ham, would it? Would it? Ham's not.
No, I thought you said it was like heroin.
It is like. I see. Anyway, so.
Injected into your brass hand.
Anyway, the main thing is, Andy, is being on a train for so long, of course, gave me a marvellous opportunity to do some. Think about some observational comedy, which I'm completely addicted to now.
Oh, lovely.
It's like pointing things out and that.
Yeah.
So, can I run some past you? Like, they're best. I wrote them on the train, obviously.
Please do.
Don't you hate it, right? When, like, a mental bloke gets on the train and all the other seats are empty, but he sits next to you. So, you have to put your brass hand case on your lap. What do you reckon?
I think that resonates with a lot of people, yeah. That's yeah. Really good.
Have you ever noticed on the trains that the toilet lock never works? So you have to jam the mechanism with your brass hand. You notice that?
Again, yeah, people will be listening to this and going, oh, that's just my life, that. Yeah.
Doyet, have you ever noticed on the train the conductor's hands, it's always like covered in fabric conditioner, Sofiga or something. Makes your brass hand all tacky when you get your ticket back. You noticed that?
Oh, yeah. What, you've got to shake hands with them as part of the transaction.
Oh,
yeah.
It's terrible, isn't it?
No, yeah.
So, and here's another. Right, you go to the station, says your train's cancelled. So you ask the fella, why is it cancelled? He says, I don't know. You say, when's the next train? He says, I don't know. You say, can I get a refund? And he says, I don't know. I say, can I buy brass hand oil in the concourse? He says, I don't know. You noticed that?
Yeah, happens to me all the time.
I'll better stop. I've got loads of them, but in the French things, they have quite a flashy buffet bar.
Yeah.
So, you know what it's like with the Continentals. So I said, can I have a cup of coffee? He says, what do you want? Cappuccino, mocha, latte, American flat white. And I said, no, I just want some brass hand oil. Anyway, so that's a bit of train comedy.
You seem to be specialising in brass hand material.
Well, it's because it's personal to me. I've got a brass hand, so
you need to try and, you know, come up with stuff that everyone's going to identify with. That's the power of observation comedy. The audience can say, that's just exactly like my life. I've got some. Here we go. Let's have a listen.
A fat bloke sat next to me on the chair. My brass hand went straight up his ass.
No.
Carry on. Let's hear yours. No. You've got some...
All right. Here we go. Wait till I tell you. Listen. I tell you what you don't see much of these days. Wayside Jack.
I don't know Wayside Jack. Sorry, I can't relate to that.
He was the Yorkshire Ripper hoaxer.
Oh, you don't hear much of him. Good one.
Yeah.
6 out of 10.
I tell you what you don't see much of these days. Lieutenant Pigeon.
I remember them up Mouldy Old Door.
See?
Yeah.
See, it's resonating with you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you remember when you were a kid and you had the measles and your mum would leave you home once you were in the bingo and you starved to death? Do you remember it? That were a laugh, wasn't it?
Like that?
Yeah.
That sort of thing. See, you're laughing because it happened to you.
God, it did happen to me. Of course it did. It happened to everyone.
Wait till I tell you. Wait till I tell you this one. Wait till I tell you.
Go on then.
You know all that recycling they're going about?
Yeah.
On the news? Well, I never know what to put in the recycling bin, so I just put anything in that I think deserves a second chance.
See?
It's good. That's great observation. Why did we do a football podcast when we could have called it Observation Mints or something?
We could be doing 35 minutes of this shit.
Yeah.
Every week.
Andy, I've got to ask you, have you been up the Asda this week?
Funny story about that. I actually ventured up the Morrisons for a change.
All right, I was a shut our local one, but yeah, carry on.
Because because I was nearby.
Yeah.
And I needed a few bits and bobs. I needed some Billy Bear meat.
Right.
Some tennis balls.
Yeah.
Because Wimbledon's coming up, obviously. I needed a sewing kit because I needed a tape measure.
Right. What for?
Just measuring myself.
You are right.
Body parts.
Yeah.
And some rocket lollies.
Okay, that's a nice little list.
And I got all of them. And I tell you what, there was a nicer vibe up the Morrisons than you get up the Asda.
I think that's right, yeah.
And I'm not saying I'm turning me back on the Asda, but you know, it wasn't quite as harsh. It didn't feel like it could kick off at any minute.
The lighting's very harsh in Asda, don't you find? Do you find it a bit harsh?
And the floor's quite slippery as well.
Yeah, if you go into Budgeons, they have quite low lighting, and it somehow... Low lighting can make even a tin of Plum Rose hot dogs look classy, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
In stark Asda floodlights, it looks exactly what it is, you know.
How slippy is the floor in the Budgeons?
Oh, man, I've always experienced a pretty good grip in there. I can't remember any incidents.
Because the Asda, I tend to go down 3 or 4 times.
Do you really?
During a big shop, yeah.
Next week, Andy, would you bring us your shopping list? Unadulterated, just bring us your Asda shopping list so I can have a look at it.
I'll think about it.
Oh, I'd love to see it.
If I do a shop before then, I might not do.
Okay. But
I've got a lot in. The freezer is full.
I'll bring you my card or I get it all delivered, you know, if you'd be interested.
What will you bring? You'll bring a piece of paper or a receipt. It'll be some kind of app you'll bring, will it?
No, you get a big print. You do get a hard copy.
Do you?
Yeah, honestly, I promise you. Wife's questions, Andy.
No, before we go any further, Bob, you need to establish your credentials because there's been a lot of complaints that we didn't do Memory Man last week.
Okay, of course. Of course, that's a terrible error.
And I think this week so far you've been trying to put it off.
Okay, well, I'd like to establish my credentials. I know all the statistics relating to football from 1876 to date. You can test
Here
me.
Here we go. Memory Man.
Yep.
Do you remember the aggregate attendances for the Football League Third Division South in the 1936-37 season?
Yes.
Memory Man.
Oh, get a load of that.
Yeah.
It's a two-parter, though.
Oh, God, that was hard, that. It's just pre-war. It was...
Well, yeah. Part two. Do you remember what Hitler said about it?
No, Andy, I don't.
Ah!
Sorry, I don't know that. I don't... That's not strictly football. I'm sorry, Andy. That's not fair. I'm sorry, I don't remember that. I'm sorry to let you down, but I don't think that's strictly football.
You don't know what Hitler said about the attendances.
I don't know.
Third Division South.
I'm sorry.
36-37.
I don't think it's strictly football question, Andy. But there you go. I've let you down. But
well, I'll tell you later on.
Okay. So that's me. Can I now do my wife's questions, Andy?
Oh, if you must.
All right. My wife says, "Hello, Andy." That's quite nice, isn't it?
Hello, Mrs. Bob.
She says, "Do you like that tinned cream, or do you prefer to just put warm water on your puddings?"
I use warm water, but what I tend to do to give it that cream feel is to mix it with a little bit of basic toothpaste.
No, you don't. Just being silly, you could mix it with flour, maybe. You might get away with it. You don't put warm water on your puddings.
Well, you asked the question. Your wife did.
Well, you're just... But you're just avoiding, aren't you? I'll put that... Do you like tin cream?
Of course I do. Who doesn't?
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah.
Do you, when you open it and you know it's quite watery at the top...
Yeah.
Do you pour that water off or do you mix it together?
I give it a shake. Mix it in.
Give it a shake.
You don't waste any of it, do you?
Hey, good lad, Andy. I'm proud of you. Andy.
Bob.
Have you ever eaten or seen brown bread? I'm not appreciating that. I'm mid-pub.
During a school trip to a farm when I was about 8 or perhaps 9, I was given a little bag with some brown bread in to feed the ducks.
Okay, so you've seen it.
I didn't feed the ducks, I ate it myself.
Oh, wow. Little cheat.
That was the time that I saw brown bread, yes.
So you were a right little twat then, weren't you? Forgetting.
Yes.
Didn't give a shit about the ducks.
Fuck them.
Way up. So, do you, Andy, do you like ladders? You know, do you enjoy chatting about them, etc.? Because I've told Bob to have a chat with you about ladders if you seem keen.
I've got ladders. I use ladders. You know, not every day, but you know, I'm all fair with ladder chat.
Okay,
that's where you want to go.
Well, let's have a look. Have you got double or triple extension ladder, or is it a single?
No, just some step ladders.
Oh, you so it's step ladders you focused on, yeah?
Oh, is that what? Isn't that not what you meant when no, you were talking about the extendable?
If I'd met, well, yeah, I said ladder. I didn't say step ladder, did I?
Oh, sorry, I haven't got them. I'm not really. I'm a little bit scared of them, to be honest, Bob.
So, how high are you willing to get up on a step ladder?
I'll go to the top.
Yeah.
I'll go to the top, you know, that's about 5 steps up.
So, what would you be?
5 feet.
About 5 feet?
Yeah.
So,
but I'll hang on to the top. I'll hang on to the rail at the top. I'm not going to, like, stand on it, you know.
Okay. You don't seem as... I was ready to talk about, you know, whether you used any platform accessories or a standoff unit to keep you away from the wall or...
No.
No?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to draw a line under this now because I feel that you're trying to encroach into... talking about the height of me house.
Exactly what I was trying to do.
And whether it's got a dormer or not.
Exactly what I was trying
to
do.
So I'm just going
to
no platform you there.
Okay.
Gonna shut you down. Going to move on.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Steve McLaren, you know I've got my sources now. He's had quite a week, Andy.
What's he been up to?
Well, let me tell you. He and the big lass have really got into the Great British Sewing Bee, you know. So he went down the Aberdashers or whatever it is and bought all the gear. Because his mum actually taught him to knit when he was young and he picked it up quite quick. And he thought he'd do a really long wooden woolen sleeve, you know, for his snake.
To keep the snake warm.
Keep the snake warm, obviously, yeah. So he practiced, right, and he did some little ankle bands for the fat right. lass, little woolly ones.
Like what they used to wear in the 80s.
Yeah, and he did a little willy warmer. It's like fun, you know what I mean?
Just for himself.
For himself and for fun.
How long was it?
Well, never mind that, Andy. Oh, and okay. Anyway, so then he got stuck into his, I'll call it a snake jumper, but it's like a boob tube for the snake, you know.
Snake sleeve.
Yeah, snake sleeve, a couple of feet long or whatever. It was just for the top bit of the snake, for its chest. Keep its chest warm.
You get a bit chesty in the winter, does it?
Anyway, so they were going up the Asda, obviously, to do a little sneaky shop. And he shouts down to the fat lass, he shouts like, put the little coat on the snake, right, for our trip. So she says, will do, Steve, and all that. So they get in the car, fat lass has got the snake, and Steve glances over his shoulder, and, oh no, I've got that wrong actually, they didn't, so they got into Asda, and fat lass was holding the snake, had it in like a... one of those bag for lives, as it were, and it just peeks over the top and looks at stuff as it's going around the shop. But anyway, then Steve noticed it's like a big swelling around its throat and around its face, and that. So he peeked into the bag. Do you know what had happened, Andy?
What happened?
She'd absolutely tugged the little willy warmer over.
Oh man!
She'd picked up the wrong one. tugged it over the snake. So just as they were at like the health bit, you know, with the paracetamol and that, bang, guess what happens?
Spewed everywhere.
Spewed up over the paracetamol, over the Pirotin, over the cough syrups, everything. It's a terrible incident.
That speaks volumes to us about Steve's manhood, doesn't it?
Well, I wasn't...
If there's a comparison to be made between a snake sleeve and Steve's willy warmer, then, well, you know...
Well, a terrible tale.
What does that tell us?
Well, you don't like to think of a snake being restricted like that, but...
No, not a supermarket.
Well, it turns out it was the right place for it to happen, because they sell the little first aid kits and that, and scissors. So yeah. Steve cut through it.
Yeah.
Right, discarded the willy warmer, and they went out the shop. They didn't get caught this time. Just left the spew all over it.
Just sort of like breathing heavily because it just got its breath back. And
oh, it's out for the count. It was one of the biggest spews. It's probably the full length of the snake in spew, yeah. You know. Great stream of it.
Well, I've heard that he's been, you know, obviously he's got this ongoing problem with the snake. He's worried about all the spewing and everything. And, you know, he's well into his sports psychologists, isn't he, Steve?
He's
mates who are sports psychologists. He asked one of them to come round and help him out. And maybe he's doing a bit of snake whispering, you know. But his arse dropped at the last minute, and he told the psychologist it was actually a player who needed some help.
Yeah.
Because he didn't. He just got embarrassed at the last minute and didn't want to say, "Can you come round and whisper into me, snake?"
Yeah.
What happened then was, the psychologist on his way around.
Yeah. Right,
Steve's bricking it because there's no player there, just the snake. So Steve hides in the boot of the car with the snake.
Right.
To pretend it's not happening. Psychologist turns up, knocks on the door, and the big lass answers. She can't be bothered with any of Steve's antics, so she just marches across to the car, opens the boot and says, "He's in there."
Yeah.
Right, so the psychologist looking in the boot of the car, Steve's lying there with a snake. The snake's been panicking, you know, restricted, you know, in the dark.
Yeah.
So what do you reckon the snake's been doing?
Oh, God, I mean, has it had a tod or has it spewed?
It's both, Bob.
It's tod and spew.
So she opens the boot of the car, Steve's lying there with a snake, and he's covered from head to toe, snake, tods and spew.
Oh, isn't that awful for him? What did the psychologist run him out?
He just tuttered and just walked off.
Yeah, shut the lid behind
him. Like, you know, not this again, Steve.
Yeah. They get into some scrapes, don't they, Andy?
It's bad news for Steve.
They do get into some scrapes. I noticed from your Twitter, Andy, that you've been causing a noise nuisance. What's that about? I don't like that sort of stuff.
I've been causing a noise nuisance.
Yeah, you were playing music or something, and the neighbour had to come in.
No, I was just playing Sulk by the Associates in the garden yesterday because the sun was out.
Well, that is music, yeah. So you're playing music.
Yeah. Is that a wrong thing to do?
Well, if a neighbour's felt the need to come round because you're disturbing him, yeah, it is a bit wrong, isn't it?
Well, he just said that it was frightening his children a little bit because it's quite an experimental album. It's a pop album, but it's a bit experimental.
Yeah.
Have you heard it? Are you familiar with it?
Yeah, these are the gibberings of someone, of a guilty man, you know what I mean? It was too loud.
He didn't say it was too loud, it was the content that he didn't like.
Oh, he said that music's too shit for my family to bear.
No, he said it was upsetting them.
Yeah.
He said it was emotionally traumatising for them.
So what did you do?
I turned it off because he's a big fella.
Oh, well, that's fair enough then. Sorry, well, then that's fair enough. I imagined you, the way you are, you'd have just turned it up more, you know what I mean?
No. I don't cock a snook at people, Bob.
Okay. You prefer...
I haven't got a problem with other people's feelings.
Do you prefer sandy beaches or pebbly beaches, Andy?
Sandy beaches.
Yeah, I do. I mean, in principle, I do. The actual experience, to be honest with you, sometimes is better on pebbles, you know. You don't get them in...
What experience?
Well, you don't get sand everywhere, you know what I mean? You don't get...
Yeah, but it's all pebbles, though.
Yeah, well, that's all right. What's the problem?
If you've got shoes on, what if you're barefoot?
Have you seen those car seat things, covers, that are little wooden balls?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same principle, you know. They're actually very soothing pebbles under your feet or on your ass when you sat on them. You met a little...
Right.
So, I voted for pebbles, you voted for sandy, so...
That's the north-south divide for you, isn't it, I suppose?
I suppose it is, yeah.
Have you got an air freshener in your car?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I'll move on. Questions for you, actually, from some blood relatives of mine.
Okay.
Who want to know more about your millionaire lifestyle and your fondness for the white slave trade. Bob, when your slaves go up onto the roof to protest about the terrible conditions you force them to work in, do you listen to their grievances, or do you shoot boiling oil at them out of a super soaker?
I don't have... There's no access to my roof. in the first place, Andy, and I don't have any slaves.
There's always access to a roof. You've told us about the ladders that you've got.
There's no access into it from
the... So you're lying about your ladders?
I didn't say I had ladders. I just said I was willing to chat to you about them. Next question.
Didn't deny the slave thing either there, did you? Next question. If one of your slaves falls ill, do you provide him or her with the care and attention they need, or do you tranquilise them, wrap them in a king-size duvet, drive 50 miles and roll them into a quarry?
I don't have any slaves. I don't have any tranquilizer equipment, etc. Thank you.
So would you look after them, nurse them back to health, or would it just be into the quarry with them?
If I had slaves, which I don't, I would willingly give them a lift to hospital and let them receive proper attention.
But what if they're not registered to be in this country?
Well,
the doctor's going to want to see their papers, aren't they?
I
haven't got them.
I don't know that that's true, Andy.
Because you smuggled them in.
Next question, Andy.
Have you got false documents for them?
No, I have no. I don't have false documents.
You don't have false documents for your slaves, right? Okay, that's the answer I needed. Third question: are you familiar with the Alderman's cheeky summer outdoor ball?
I am familiar with that, yes. Although I have never attended it.
That's unusual, because somebody sent me a postcard that appeared in the post office window in your town.
Yeah.
This week, which they nicked and sent to me, and it says, "Come to the Alderman's cheeky summer outdoor ball. All shapes and sizes welcome. Dress code: just a smile and an open mind."
Right.
And there's a picture of one of them hats they have with "Kiss Me Quick" written on.
Yeah.
So, and it also says underneath, "Special local celebrity guest will be cutting the ribbon and launching the fun."
What
has he got to say about that?
What, you're suggesting that's me?
I'm suggesting it might well be you, yeah, given your previous dealings with the Alderman.
I am not opening his summer fun Kiss the Alderman fair, right?
I didn't say it was called Kiss the Alderman.
Well, whatever you said it was called, some trilby added the name on it, didn't it, or something?
The cheeky summer outdoor ball.
Okay, I'm not opening it. I'm being asked to open it. The last time I saw the Alderman, Andy, was I went up 3 weeks ago to a screening of a charity film. It was about the decline of steel and coal industry in the north.
What, in the south?
In the north. No, I went up to Stockton for it, thank you, Andy.
Right.
It's a charity thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, the dirty alderman, of course, as he does, he's like, there was snacks afterwards and that, and he cornered me at the buffet, and we were just talking, and then suddenly he popped a toffee in my pocket. I said, "What's that? What did you do? What was that about?" And as I put my hand in to see what it was, he grabbed my hand so I couldn't get it out of me. Got a big fat arm, you know, and I couldn't get my hand out.
Was it your brass hand?
No, it was the other hand, my proper hand.
Your good hand.
My good hand. And he grabbed it, and I said, what have you put in there, Alderman? And he said, a lovely creamy toffee. A nice toffee. And I've got to be honest, I thought, God, I want that toffee. I'm feeling comfortable, but I don't know how fancy that toffee. And he said, "You want it, don't you? You want it? You want it, don't you?" I said, "Oh, well, I do want the toffee, yeah." And he says, "Well, in that case, you know what you have to do." And then just as he said those words, you know, the town clerk and the mayor and all his cronies.
Yeah.
They like gathered round, started saying, "Kiss the Alderman, kiss the Alderman, kiss the Alderman." So I thought, I really do want that toffee. So I kissed and he opened his mouth quite wide. And as he opened it, he released his grip. So yeah. I was able to slip my hand in
and get the toffee.
And just as we finished it, pulled the toffee out, him and his cronies disappeared. And I, you know, like, I'd kissed the Alderman. Yeah.
He got what he wanted.
I got what I wanted.
You got what you wanted. But why do you keep having to go to Stockton to do these things?
Well, because that's where he's an Alderman. I've got connections with him, and he always says, "Look, we need a so-called celebrity to open this or to come to this event." And I do it for charity because it's for Daft.
You do it because you love it.
I like to see the Alderman. You know, I kiss the Alderman, whatever. You know,
kiss the Alderman.
Yeah, but you know, take the toffee, Andy. Take the toffee.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what surprised me. You know, you've introduced me to buttered Weetabix.
I have, yeah. I've introduced the nation to buttered Weetabix,
I think. And then I noticed that last week I asked you whether you would ever have boiled carrots with a hard-boiled egg.
Yeah.
And someone's contacted us to say in Spain, in the hospital, they're in hospital actually, they get it every single day. Boiled carrots and hard-boiled eggs.
Wow. Is that all they give them?
Well, it had a bit of greenery on it as well, you know, a bit of...
You just ignore that, though, don't you?
Yeah. So, you know, isn't the culinary world full of surprises, Andy?
If that isn't a recommendation for us all to vote Remain,
yeah.
I don't know what is, basically.
Is there anything else? I've prepared a nice song, a really nice touching song this
week. Have you? Well, go on then. We'll finish with a song, because I've got nothing else to say.
Yeah, are you sure, Andy?
I mean,
telly-wise, I enjoyed the banter between Chris Evans and another fella on Top Gear.
Oh, is that still on?
Yeah.
I thought they'd have took it off by now.
Who
was the other fella?
Oh, he was someone who's Eddie Jordan, I think he's called. And they were.
He played Steptoe, didn't he?
Yeah.
The old man.
That's the
Steptoe
one.
And, son, yeah.
And he was in one car and Evans was in another. And, you know, they do banter between the cars.
What, the lights? Did they have the windows down?
They were in separate...
Slanging match at the lights.
Separate parts of the country or whatever. But they, like, get on the phone and it's like, how's it going? So,
oh, yeah.
So Evans goes, "Hi, Eddie, how's it going?" And then he says, "Oh, hi, Chris. Yeah, it's going good." Chris says, "It's going good then, yeah?" And then he says, "Yeah, it's great." And Chris says, "Right, so I'll meet you at the place we're going to then." And he says, "Yeah, see you there, Chris.
Watch out for the cops."
And that was it.
Yeah. People seem to like that kind of thing, though, you know.
Well, it's...
Top gear. top banter.
Well, time for the song, Andy. Do you agree?
I agree. Let's have it.
It's a bit up-tempo, so be wary. It's about Mr. Steve McLaren, actually.
Ooh.
Okay. "Oh, where'd you get your shirt, Steve? It looks fucking incredible. The big lass bought me it from BHS. If you don't mind me saying, Steve, it makes you look fucking sexy. Thank you, Bob. That's what the fat lass said. How would you describe it to those who can't fucking see it? It's a light blue short-sleeved comfort fit. The colour and the detail really pick out your arm freckles. That's not freckles, Bob. It's dried on pieces of fucking snake sick." There you go.
Rock has a new anthem.
Yep. Thank you. That's been Atletico Mints.
Atletico Mints. We're on Twitter at Atletico Mints. You know, whatever.
See you, Andy.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.